Underwriting support for Between the Stacks comes from Lakeville Books and Stationery, 329 Main Street in Lakeville, Connecticut, offering a wide selection of illustrated books, fine writing needs, and more. On the web, lakevillebooks.com. Robin Hood Radio presents Between the Stacks, a weekly chat about our local libraries.
Good morning. I'm Meg Scherer, the director of the David M. Hunt Library in Falls Village, Connecticut, and I'm here with Leslie Battis, the assistant director of the Norfolk Library. Hi, Leslie.
Hi, Meg.
We're going to start off today's show by talking about something that really has impacted the library world over the last few weeks. Baker & Taylor, a company that has provided most, I would say, probably a significant portion of libraries' books, closed, kind of unexpectedly. Is that true, Leslie?
It is. It was very sudden. They had been having difficulties, I think, for almost the past year, mm-hmm. but I was really shocked by the closure.
And this closure has really impacted libraries, and I know it hasn't impacted us so much because we don't buy from them, but you do. And I'd love to hear how it's impacted the Norfolk Library.
It's been exciting.
That's a really nice, generous way to put it, Leslie.
Yes. We do use them as our book vendor, but we were fortunate to also have an account with Ingram, who is another major book wholesaler. So we were able to order books as soon as we heard the news about Baker & Taylor. But
oh,
of course,
goodness.
It was this, we have to cancel everything here, what books we had ordered there, make sure we could, you know, order them on Ingram, lots of paperwork and cards to keep track of everything. And unfortunately, many, many other libraries, as you said, were also ordering at the same time from Ingram. And poor Ingram, they were just flooded with orders. So after, like I said, nearly a year of not having enough books,
mm-hmm.
we then had like almost a month-long drought of no books.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, it was awful. We finally received our first Ingram order last week. Yay!
Oh, thank goodness.
So the challenge is that when your main product is books, and when you can't provide that product to your customers, it's really disconcerting for everyone.
Yeah.
You know, patrons would come in and ask for books that we couldn't provide for them.
Mm-hmm.
We couldn't put holds on books. Oh, they would put holds on books, but we couldn't get the books in. And worse yet was seeing people leave empty-handed, you know. You never want to see people leave a library empty-handed.
No, certainly not. And
so
one of the things
go ahead.
I was going to say, one of the things I've heard from, you were so fortunate to already have an account with Ingram,
yes.
because one of the things I've heard from the grapevine from other libraries is that because Ingram had such an influx of people wanting new accounts, they had to put limits isn't the right word, but they had to demand that libraries would say, you know, we'll order $5,000 of books from you or $10,000 of books.
In one, their case of another vendor, yeah.
In order to get an account, which makes it so that some libraries can't do that.
Yes. We were very fortunate.
Yeah,
that was the silver lining on the whole thing. So, it just worked out well for that. The things that we're still in holding for are we typically would get our books covered and they would come with a pre-printed barcode label and spine label.
Oh.
And they told us, fancy. And
wow.
They told us that it probably will take about 3 months before they get through the backlog to provide
service
for us. Yes. Fortunately, we have a couple of staff members who know how to cover books and
mm-hmm.
do a good job. I am not one of them. I make a hash out of it. So.
Yeah, me too. Me too.
And also the MARC record service that we use, that we would get the MARC record, put it into the catalog, and people could see what books were coming in and put holds on them ahead of time. And that's the service that's they don't even have an estimate on when that might be available to us. So it's been a wild few weeks, but things are settling down. And I just wanted to ask you, Meg, do you remember the mascots for Baker & Taylor?
No.
My mother was a librarian.
Mm-hmm.
And so when I was young and growing up, I remember that the tote bags from Baker & Taylor featured their two cat mascots who were named Baker and Taylor.
Right.
So for me, it seems like the end of an era, because my whole growing up, I just knew about Baker and Taylor. And I can only imagine how it feels for the employees.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah. It must
Very
feel
difficult.
Terrible.
Yes.
One of the other questions I wanted to ask you, Leslie, are you guys looking for another book buyer in addition to Ingram? Another
we
place to buy books?
We haven't gotten that far yet. We it's just was enough confusing to move from one to another, and then to try to dip your toe into something else. We're not really sure yet. We're going to wait this one out a little bit and then see how things go, I think.
Right. Right. Oh, what a mess.
Yes.
Yikes. And it made me feel fortunate that we don't deal with Baker and Taylor, I'm sorry to say. And we buy a significant portion of our collection from Oblong Books in Millerton, and they are wonderful, and they give libraries a substantial discount. I was just there today, and it is a delight to shop in that store.
Oh, I love Oblong.
Yeah, so I feel really grateful that we have that connection, and I know that people, you know, I've been hearing that Amazon is now starting to try and fill the void and deal with libraries and some other companies as well. I can't think of any of their names off the top of my head, but are trying to reach out and fill the void that Baker and Taylor has left. But of course, it's, you know, reactionary. It didn't happen beforehand. So like you said, lots of libraries are left with months where they didn't receive books, which is horrible.
Yes.
Well, I'm so glad to hear that you have received your first shipment.
Yes,
thank
we are
goodness.
Too.
Yeah, I bet. Yeah. Moving on to talking about books, which is my favorite part, what are some of the most requested books in Norfolk? What have people been waiting for while Bid the Baker and Taylor thing was happening?
Yeah. Heart the Lover by Lily King has a lot of holds on it, and The Black Wolf by Louise Penny continues to have a lot of holds. We did get a copy in, and it's just moving through its hold list, which is good. In nonfiction, we have an interesting book. It's called The Salt Stones by Helen Wybrow, and it's about seasons of a shepherd's life in the Green Mountains of Vermont.
Oh, we have that book. Yes, I knew it sounded
so
familiar.
Interesting. Yeah.
Awesome.
And how about your library?
So Louise Penny, and actually often when Louise puts out a new book, I buy two, because I know that way people will be less grumpy about having to wait. And at some point when we deaccession it, someone will happily buy it to add to their full Louise Penny collection. And the other thing that people have been asking for is the new John Grisham book, The Widow. So those have been two popular ones. And we haven't really had a nonfiction title that people have been clamoring for. I mean, I think our copy of The Anxious Generation still hasn't sat on the shelf ever in the last 3 years or 2 years or however long it's been out. So that one probably continues to be the most requested.
That's true. I don't think I've seen that one on the shelf in a while.
No, we have the audiobook, and we have a New York Times bestsellers display, and the audiobook is always on the display, but the book is never on the display. And the amount of people who have walked out of here with the audiobook excited to listen to it and walked back in the same afternoon or that day or the next day and said, I don't have a way to listen to this. It's so interesting because cars don't have CD players anymore.
No, they don't. Yeah.
You know, so that's been interesting. And what have you been reading, Leslie?
Well, I finished a book last night, way too late, but I just had to see how it ended. It's called A Murder in Paris by Matthew Blake. And the little blurb about it says, an expert in memory must uncover the truth about her family's wartime past in this dazzling new psychological thriller. And believe me, it does keep you going.
Awesome.
The book's mostly about memory. But the main character is Olivia Finn. She's a memory expert in London. She's called to Paris after her grandmother has a distressing memory episode, let's call it, at a hotel. Mm. And she claims that she committed a murder in one of the hotel rooms at the end of World War II.
Oh, dear.
So it's an interesting, there's two times, you know, the 1945 and the present day and different plot lines and how they all converge at the end, which I couldn't wait to read, obviously.
Right. That's the problem with those books. You can't get to, you know, you can't stop before the end. You got to keep going until you find out what happened.
So highly recommend. How about you, Meg?
So I just read Anna North's new book called The Bog Queen. I don't know, Leslie, if you read her previous one. It was called Outlaw.
No. I almost talked about The Bog Queen. I'm so glad I didn't.
Oh, but it would have been fun to hear. Well, we'll get that now.
Yeah.
So I really loved it, and it had a little bit, so the main character is a forensic anthropologist. She's kind of up and coming in her field. She's trying to find her place, and they find this body in a bog, and they think that the body is from, the first assumption is that it's from a recent murder where they've been trying to find the body. And the protagonist says, no, this body is 2,000 years old. Mm-hmm. And so there's multiple kind of sections of the story. One is happening in 2018. The next one happens 2,000 years prior, and it's the voice of the body that they found. And she's a druid queen, and you get to hear about their relationship with the bog and what it's like to be in that same space and the tribalism, and it was so fascinating. And then the third section of the book is the bog speaking for itself.
Isn't that great?
It is. And I sometimes, like, I don't know if I would call it magical realism per se. Mm-hmm. It didn't go that deep, but sometimes magical realism is not my thing, but I loved this. I loved the way the story is intertwined. I loved watching the protagonist kind of find her footing in her field. There was like that little bit of a romance that happened, and then there's a whole group of environmentalists who are trying to get them to stop digging. I'm so glad you read it too. Wasn't it fun?
It was. It was so interesting, and so interesting to see the druids' contact with the Roman, not empire, I guess, and the difference, you know, between those two cultures, just very interesting. I loved learning about Pete. I didn't know that much about it. It was
right.
It was such a good book.
Yeah, that was my favorite read of the last month, I think. And in my audiobook recommendations, I've read two recently. I read Three Women by Three Women by Lisa Tadeo. I can't remember if we talked about this already, but if we did, that's okay.
So.
We'll talk about it again.
Yep.
So Lisa has interviews with these three different women over a number of years, and they kind of go through their relationship and sexual history, and it was just fascinating to me. And in the audiobook, it's wonderful because different actresses play each person, and so they really have distinctive voices, and it just... Some of the stories are heart-wrenching and very hard to listen to, but it really brought to my attention the way that our societal expectations shape how we think about ourselves in relationship, especially as women, and how we start being kind of taught things from such a young age, and how some of these things really don't serve us in creating healthy relationships and happy lives. And I really enjoyed that one. And on a lighter note, the world has felt pretty heavy recently. So I have been listening to David Sedaris, and it's been so wonderful. I listen to Calypso. He reads it. Some of the stories are recordings from live shows that he's done, and I laughed out loud throughout the whole thing. My husband kept being like, "What are you doing?" while I'm cackling, washing the dishes. And it was just such a great, lighthearted break.
Excellent. We all need that.
Yeah. So I highly recommend any kind of David Sedaris listening for someone who feels like they need a little uplift.
Very good.
What wonderful things are happening at the Norfolk Library, Leslie?
Well, we have our second film in our film noir series, which is Touch of Evil, written and directed by Orson Welles. And that's on December 5th at 7 p.m. We are fortunate to have film historian Robert Dance introducing the film, which stars Charlton Heston and Janet Leigh.
Ooh.
I know. And then, let's see, for art, we have Heather Nielsen's paintings are on display and on sale for the month of December. I know
her
she
stuff
was
is
just
so
threw
lovely.
Her your way. Yeah,
so lovely.
The opening reception is December 7th from 4 to 6 p.m. And then our first Monday book group meets on Monday, December 1st at 6 p.m. And we're discussing All the Colors of the Dark by Chris Whitaker, which I haven't read yet. Have you, Meg?
No, but people love yes. that book. And I've had people come in after they read that and read everything else he's written because they're so into it.
Oh, wow. Oh,
yeah.
Well, I can't wait to get a copy. Our copy was out, and I'm waiting for it to come on interlibrary loan. What's going on at your place?
On Saturday, we have a program that I am so excited about. Babs Perkins, who was on the Art Wall with Heather Nielsen a couple of months ago, she's a documentary photographer. So she goes to the Balkans, that's her area of choice, and she photographs disappearing food traditions. So on Saturday, November 15th at 2 p.m., she will be presenting In Search of the Way, Tracking Down a Balkan Cheese on the Verge of Extinction and Why It Matters to Us in Northwest Connecticut. So she'll be showing her photographs. She was just there, and she smuggled cheese home that she's going to get to share with us. So I am like, libraries and cheese are my two favorite things. So this is,
exactly.
I'm very excited about this. On Thursday, November 20th at 7 p.m., Project SAGE is presenting a digital safety workshop for youth. So I have a 10-year-old who is soon to be 11, and I'm excited to learn about how I can, you know, what best practices are and how I can help protect him digitally. Also, on the 25th, we're having a virtual program with Dr. Nancy Bunvillian, who used to be a professor at Simon's Rock, and she will be presenting on Native American rights activism. She spent her career with various Native American tribes, and so she'll be talking about different indigenous rights movements across the country, and I'm really excited to learn from her. So you can sign up for that on our website. It's Tuesday, November 25th at 6. And lastly, we have this really wonderful and pretty, it gets pretty crazy around here when it happens, art sale that happens the first Saturday of the month in December. It's the 12 by 12, and that's on Saturday, December 6th from 5 to 7. It's very different from our other art shows. Any artist, professional or amateur, is welcome to submit a piece. It has to be 12 inches by 12 inches. Some artists submit more than one. And these all go up on the wall, and then the way that we do it is that at 5 o'clock, people just start buying. So it's it's crazy. So things just come down off the wall immediately as they sell. People get really into it. It's really fun. You get to experience new artists. And it's a really wonderful party. And it's our biggest art fundraiser of the year.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah, so that's a really good one. Well, Leslie, we're getting into the crazy season, as Mike said, and I can't wait to see next month what you guys have up your sleeve and what's coming up. Thanks so much for chatting with me, Leslie. Have a great day.
Thanks, Meg.
Between the Stacks is produced at the facilities of Robin Hood Radio 91.9 FM, Sharon, Connecticut. Underwriting support for Between the Stacks comes from Lakeville Books and Stationery, 329 Main Street in Lakeville, Connecticut, offering a wide selection of illustrated books, fine writing needs, and more. On the web, lakefieldbooks.com.